listening to a podcast from The National.
Football is coming home. Not to England, it is going to either France or Croatia, who will contest Sunday's 2018 World Cup final. I'm your host, Steve Luckins, on this edition of the Extra Time podcast. Joining me in the studio is sports editor Graham Cagle. Graham, how are you, mate?
A bit tired, but still absolutely enjoying the football, even if I'll be honest, the results haven't gone completely the way I would have personally liked them to go.
Well, that is true. Let's touch on the games. I guess freshest in the mind is obviously Croatia's comeback win over England. Obviously, there's a lot of disappointment if you're in the England camp, a lot of joy if you're in the Croatia camp. What are your thoughts on it, Gray? What about the England performance? Let's start off on that.
I think if football was a 45-minute game, we'd be absolutely lauding England right now for us sending one of the best performances of the World Cup. Like, they did an absolute number on Croatia. There was intensity. They were out of the blocks. They were stretching the defence. They were drawing fouls.
Yeah, I thought they looked like they were going to create something every time they were in the Croatian half. A lot of the Croatian players looked like they'd lost their heads in the first half. Surprised that Lovren perhaps didn't pick up a booking.
Yeah, I think it was very tactical of Lovren and co that he and his teammates were surrounded the referee the first time he challenged Kane. And I don't know if it was intimidation or if it was a plan by them to make sure. Obviously, I think they were aware of the risk of giving away fouls out on Harry Kane and such. But as like you, I was very surprised there wasn't sort of more yellow. But I think that's been the story of the World Cup. The referees have clearly been given some kind of order because there haven't been that many red cards at all during the tournament.
No. And dissent, I mean, the red cards could be in double figures for that. I think they've got away with murder, a lot of the players. I think back to the group games, Iran players especially, and Portugal players especially. But I mean, obviously, you know, I think if you asked any England fan, any England player for that matter, that on if you'd have asked them on June 14th, that you would be contesting the third place playoff, I think they'd have bitten your arm off, yeah?
Oh, no, absolutely. I think where the disappointment is that with 25 minutes to go, they were going to the final. They were done so much of the hard work against Croatia, but Croatia sort of raised their game and they just didn't have an answer to it, or there was no way of sort of shutting them down. And that was possibly the criticism, because they possibly got away with it against Colombia in the last 16 because they sort of sat on the lead, Colombia got the equaliser, and they were rocking for the first period of extra time, if you remember. And they kind of got away with that. And this time, sort of, Croatia were a better side. Croatia were the best side they faced.
Yeah,
other than Belgium's B team, it easily the best side they faced. And they were kind of found out a little bit in the end. And there's no disgrace in that. Like, speaking as an Englishman, my dream before the tournament, considering what we've seen recently, was ideally get out of the group and just lose to someone better than us. And I think we did that.
Well, England, you know, you think back to the last two tournaments, Euro 2016, obviously the humiliation of exiting to Iceland out after two games of the 2014 World Cup. They are, by and large, a terrible tournament team. To have played seven, or by the time they contest the third place playoff against Belgium again, they would have played seven games. Now, I don't think anyone would have predicted that England would play seven games at this 2018 World Cup. But, I mean, obviously we're focusing on England now. We should obviously, dedicate a significant amount of time to Croatia having won the game. I still think there's a question over a high boot for the first goal, Perisic's equaliser. But, I mean, the second goal now, the one thing I wanted before the game was there to be no big mess up by an England player. I didn't want an England player scapegoated for our defeat. And I won't name the channel that I was watching last night, but it was very clear that they were trying to scapegoat John Stones over Mandzukic's winner. Mm. And at the end of the day, it's not like it's a cushioned header from Perisic into his path. It's a header he won. If it goes 2 yards to the right, defence clear. If it goes 2 yards to the left, that goes out for a goal kick. Mandzukic just reacted quicker, and it was a great finish. The celebration was great as well, getting the cameraman involved. But yeah, I mean, and for reasons you've mentioned about maybe Southgate being a little bit slow to react when England were under the cosh, I think that's a criticism you could have, or I have, labelled at Zlatko Dalic throughout this tournament. But Croatia grew into the game. Second half, extra time, they completely dominated. I think it's the most complete midfield performance I've seen at this tournament so far. Rakitic and Modric especially were class in that game. And I don't think there's any complaints. I think that the two correct teams are in the final based on their semi-final performances.
Oh, no, absolutely. As you were saying, I think it just comes down to a little bit of experience. Like Mandzukic read where that ball was going and John Stones didn't. And that's not that. That's just part of that is Stones is very young in his career. If that happens 8 years from now, probably Stones doesn't get caught out like that. That's just sometimes it happens. Like the beauty of football is mistakes will
there can only be one winner.
Yeah. And as you say, in midfield, a bit like, you know, you're talking about sort of Modric at Real Madrid, you've got Rakitic at Barcelona, sort of just that little bit more experience and quality in the midfield than what England had. And it showed in the end. Like England came out with a game plan of just fast vibrancy, almost trying to bypass the midfield, and it worked initially. And I think when Gareth Southgate a few months from now reflects on it, his regret will be that we just didn't get that second goal. Could you imagine the Croatians went at half time, Zlatko Dalic will have sat him down and said, look, we can't play this bad again. They can't keep that up.
Yep.
They're not good enough to keep that up to that extent. We're only 1-0 down. It's almost like a win, almost, or like a draw. You know, sort of all we have to do is put the pressure on them. I've seen the Colombia game that England will naturally begin to retreat backwards as the game went on, and that's kind of what happened. And there was no real answer afterwards. So, as I said, it's the first successive knockout game that Croatia have come from behind. So there's great belief and resolve from that squad, because the easy thing in knockout games is to panic. Because normally if you go a goal down, scoring international football, particularly World Cups, is so difficult that going behind, like the other team can in theory sit back but almost try and hit you on the counter-attack and the quality of some of the sides there. Because I think, obviously, we'll talk about it later, but obviously, I don't think they can dare go behind to France, because yeah. I don't think we want to challenge Mbappe to hit you on the counter attack if that happens.
Well, let's move on to the other semi final. Obviously, France overcame Belgium. On a personal level, I feel Belgium have provided us with the two great games at this World Cup. I feel the come from behind win against Japan, last minute winner, was sensational. I thought Martinez's tactical nous, the way he set up to play against Brazil and they completely dominated them. I feel it was a fairly even match against France, but the difference maker was Mbappe. And also, you look at that France team, the base average player was 7 out of 10 and the standout player was 10 out of 10, and that was Mbappe.
Mm. I think, as you said, going back to what I touched on earlier a little bit with Croatia England, I think experience played a part as well in that. Belgium came out of the blocks absolutely charging and pretty much gave France everything they had for the first 20-25 minutes and really should have scored at least one. And Hugo Lloris made one absolute worldie to sort of keep them out. But you didn't see France panic, you didn't see Deschamps. They sort of rode the punches, so to speak, and then settled down and got into the game. And the quality they have across the field kind of showed itself. And I do wonder if getting to the Euro 2016 final, like obviously there's been some change, and Mbappe wasn't there for that tournament, but that experience of sort of playing big games, because Belgium haven't been this far before. And again, almost like England, like when they went behind, I know sort of there's been a few sort of claims afterwards of France playing anti-football and stuff, but France just managed to do a game beautifully.
I can't believe the criticism. I mean, I thought Raphael Varane was superb. Paul Pogba, that's the most disciplined performance I've seen from him, almost playing as a third centre-back to man Mark Marrow and Fellaini, because obviously Belgium were going to, you know, exploit his power and his height in the box. Blaise Matuidi, that's the best game I've seen him play. And N'Golo Kante just keeps getting better and better. But even your unsung heroes, I thought Olivier Giroud, the way he kept tracking back on Moussa Dembele. I mean, we watch Dembele every week in the Premier League. He rarely gives the ball away. Giroud took the ball off him at least five times in the first half. I honestly think that was one of the best performances of the tournament. I'm so shocked at the amount of criticism that, you know, a lot of people are saying it, you know, France played like the way their manager, Didier Deschamps, plays, kind of boring, no frills. I didn't see that. I saw a fantastic performance.
No, absolutely. I completely agree. I thought France had everything. They were organised, but they were exciting when they broke. Like they've got a game changer in Mbappe, but as I said, Giroud does everything you'd want from a striker, in that he causes problems for the defence.
Except score goals, it would seem.
Yeah, there is that. But luckily, I suppose, this is why France probably are going to, I think, in such a strong position, because they don't necessarily rely on him for goals.
No. He does a job that he's the perfect foil for the likes of Griezmann and Mbappe.
Because when Harry Kane went quiet for England, when Croatia were sort of marshalling him, there wasn't really necessarily a plan B, but there's still Griezmann, there's still Mbappe. there's still Pogba in theory coming up, making runs forward, because Pogba's part of the interesting series of Manchester United players who have played better for their country than their club. Because I know Jose Mourinho's been doing commentary during the podcast. I do wonder what he must think when he's watching players sort of just going, why don't you do this for me? And there might be an easy answer to that.
Okay, let's move on to the final, Greg. Like we said, France contesting their third World Cup final, obviously won it on home soil nearly 20 years to the day in 1998. Didier Deschamps, of course, was the captain of that team, could join a select band of two previous men who have won the World Cup as both coach and player. Up against Croatia, I mean, it's going to be a fascinating game. How do you see it playing out?
I think Croatia will look to try and make it a midfield battle as much as they possibly can, and will play it as tight. And I don't think they dare play a high line in defence because I don't think what they've done to England will work here.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to have to. I think it's going to be in Croatia's interest to try and make it a grind, because they've got a way of going behind in virtually every other game they've played in England, but they can't do that against France. So I think they're going to try and make it a grind. Well, France have just a little bit too much quality for them, but they might have to work hard to open those chances. And I think the key thing will be taking that early chance that comes their way. I think traditionally we haven't had a really great World Cup final, possibly since France-Brazil 98, in terms of a real absorbing clash. So my hunch is still, in a rare moment that no one's more shocked than myself, I predicted France before the tournament.
I'm glad to drop that in.
Yeah, and I thought I'd just throw that little nugget in there. And
it doesn't happen often. We've got to take our success where we can.
Exactly. So I still think they'll do it. Well, I think Croatia will make life tough for them, but I think Croatia, Dalic's tactics will be, I think, keep it tight, try and get to half time, and then try and frustrate France. I think it won't be. I don't think it'll be anti-football, because I don't think Dalic is that kind of coach. I don't think they would go that far anyway. Because with all due respect, Croatia's defence, I don't think, is good enough to sit back and defend that heavily anyway. But I think they're going to have to be very careful and try and find a way of circumventing that French midfield.
Yeah, you sense that Croatia are probably going to have to score at least two goals, I feel, against France. And let's move on to Dalic. I mean, obviously, UAE football fans know him very well from his time in charge of Alain, very successful there. He took that Croatia job. I was reading the other day, before their last group game in qualifying against Ukraine, a game they had to win, he met the players for the first time in Kiev the day before that match. Now, he's obviously got them this far, and you know, they had a standout result against Argentina in the group phase, a 3-0 win where they were fantastic against, you know, what has proven to be a very shambolic Argentina team. I do think he's been guilty in the games against Denmark and Russia of not reacting quickly enough to obvious signs of trouble on the pitch. But, I mean, we can't take anything away from him. I mean, to go into that situation, to get a team of Croatia, a country of 4 million people, to a World Cup final, it's a superb effort. I mean, we've obviously lauded Gareth Southgate for what he has achieved with an England where expectations are very low of them. Whereas Croatia, again, we all know their quality on the pitch. You've mentioned their standout stars in Modric and Rakitic. But still, getting a team like Croatia to a World Cup final, I mean, it's a seismic achievement.
Absolutely. It'll be fascinating to see what kind of happens after the tournament, win or lose. Because he's got to be on some people's radars for the result, for what he's done. But I think, if you follow him on social media, what I've been impressed with is the fact that he's constantly on Twitter thanking fans after every game. He's very proud. The players clearly love him, even though one of them, I think, did some kind of like martial arts throw on him on the pitch after the game, or doing a bit of play wrestling. Oh. But clearly there's a relaxed sort of feel in the squad with him. And I know he wore a Croatia shirt to his press conference after the game on Wednesday night. And sort of, he's been a great cat, and he hasn't forgotten his UAE route. He's very proud of the fact he managed in his country. Like when he spoke to John McCauley in Russia, he was talking. He's still sort of talking about his Asian Champions League run with him. It still stands with him, and he's constantly sort of brought up his UAE connection. So I think definitely there's a lot to root for, and I've got no doubt that his career trajectory is only going to go up no matter what happens on Sunday.
Okay, it's that time. First of all, let's start with the third place playoff predictions.
I don't, unfortunately, see England getting. I think Belgium were very unlucky against France in terms of not going to finish their chances. I think Belgium will have too much for a tired and demoralised England. I think 3-1.
You sense both teams are going to play, I mean, in the group phase, they both play their second teams, essentially. Obviously, it's going to be very hard to lift the players for that game. Yeah, the bridesmaid prize of third place. But I sense they'll both play their first teams.
I think so, because it might only be a third, fourth place playoff, but it might be the only, it's the last chance. They've earned the right to be in this game. I think they both might play a couple more fringe players along the way, and there's going to be certain players. I'll be surprised if Dele Alli plays, for instance, because I think he sort of looks out on his feet a little bit and needs a rest. And I imagine some of the Premier League club managers with the Premier League starting less than a month rate might be on the phone saying maybe 45 minutes, maybe an hour or so. But I think the way Belgium sort of have evolved through the tournament, sort of their attacking route, I don't think England will be able to handle that.
They have been the great entertainers. I agree with you. I think Belgium will win that match. Okay, the big one then, Sunday's final. Who's going to win?
I'm going France 2-0.
France 2-0. I think I'll go for a France win. I think it'll be cagey 1-0 though. Okay, well, that's all we've got time for this week. Graham, thanks for joining us, mate.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you for joining us on this week's Extra Time podcast. You can download it on Apple Podcasts or on the website at thenational.ae/sport. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NatSportUAE.